We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, are you ready for another exciting week here in Brevard County? We're going to get right into it. You know, I told you last week I just returned back from Oklahoma, and it went from the low 70s one day. That was the high. Upper 60s to low 70s, and the next day the heat index was 105. It was just a drastic turnaround, and I was reminded once again that they have not yet printed enough money to get me to move back there, nor have they printed enough money to get my wife to move back to Illinois, and so we just consider ourselves blessed to be here in Brevard County. And while I was in the airport waiting to fly back, turns out that one of my dad's cousins was flying another airline. Her flight was leaving about a half hour before mine, and I just wanted to go over and say hi. We don't get to see each other very much, and we'd already hugged in the parking lot, but I just felt like God wanted me to go over and make sure she was going to be traveling for about 6 hours to the West Coast. I was traveling for about 6 hours to the East Coast here. And I just wanted to make sure that she had food to eat on the plane. She is in a little bit of a difficult circumstance. And she said, you know, I was going through my computer the other day, and I said, well, what is this audio file? And she had been helping my parents burn some CDs of some of the things that I had preached. And she said, turns out it was a recording of you. And so I got to listen to you preach. And she's not Assemblies of God. I could tell you what denomination she was raised, but it's pretty far from the Assemblies of God. But thank God for technology that once a word goes out, it has the ability to continue to perpetuate. In Acts chapter 15, like we have been talking about, this starts off because Paul and Barnabas were sharing everything that had been taking place among the Gentiles as they were traveling back to Jerusalem, and that testimony caused great joy to all the brethren. Before I went to Tulsa, I was sitting in an office. I won't describe all of the situations and the details, but it was out of my normal environment. I wasn't there leading the meeting. I was there to see somebody, to find out what we needed to do to solve a situation that I'm facing. And as I was there, I was talking, and mind you, it did not say Bob Arthurs. It was just somebody that was in there talking, and all of a sudden, they asked me what type of work that I did. I told them that I was a pastor, and they said, "You're Bob Arthurs from the radio." And so I do want to thank everybody for listening to the radio program. It's still amazes me as I sit in this room with lights and walls around that there are people that are listening, and that person that was listening was about 30 miles away from our church, and he described how that the radio program had impacted them. Now let me share a testimony that I had right before I went to Tulsa. This one was really exciting to me. And it ties in with the fact that technology is able to help us in not letting a single word fall to the ground. We had a family that was visiting at our church. They're relatives of our of some of the people at our church, and they said, do you remember when I was battling this health condition? And I did remember them battling the health condition. They said, well, you told our family member here that as you were praying, that that God just was impressing upon you that there was a problem with the blood. Now, it was not a blood-related illness, but as I was praying, and so I gave that word to the family member. That family member communicated with this other person, which was 1,000 miles away, and said, hey, our pastor felt like he had a word from God, and he's praying for your blood, for your blood. And now this went back to 2012. And he said, do you remember giving that word? And I said, no, I'm sorry. I don't remember that. And he said, well, here's what happened. As they were in there and they were dealing with a circumstance, I'll just tell you, I asked him for permission if I could share this. He was battling a brain tumor. And as he was battling that brain tumor, and we were praying for the blood, that when they got in there, they discovered that the tumor had attached itself to the artery. And they said that if that artery had been compromised, that he would have died. And so most of what they ended up having to deal with during the surgery had to do with the tumor as it related to the artery. And God had been preparing his people before the surgery ever took place to pray that everything would go well. Okay, this man happens to be a preacher, and he said, I have been traveling for the past 3 years telling churches that I've been preaching in about this church that I've never been to, who was praying, who had a word from God that God worked through to help bring me to a place of healing. And so I was like, wow, that's really amazing. God is so good. And so I just share those testimonies with you today to build your faith that God is still in the miracle working business. So let's get back into the word today. Acts chapter 15. And it says in verse number 6, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. Let me drop down, because we're not going to get through all of that today. And so let me drop down to verse number 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter, which when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And that's what I want to bring to you today here on the Refresh broadcast, is that this word that we preach, the gospel, it says that when people hear the word of the gospel, the good news, that's what the word gospel means, good news, that there is a response that should come, and that is believing. When I'm here talking and sharing the word of God, there should be something that is resonating in your heart. There should be an invitation by the Spirit to come and experience belief to a new dimension, to a higher degree, that you are building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God is restoring value relationally and spiritually. We want to build relationships, but not just between men and women and other people in the congregation, but we want to build relationships between people and God. That's what we are here for. My life task, my life assignment, has been restoring value to things that other people have cast off as worthless or outdated or no longer functional, no longer valuable, and allowing God to restore the value that he sees in them. And so I just encourage you today that when we're talking about Acts chapter 15 this week, that there's encouragement here for believers. There is exhortation here, and there is strength in these words. And so as we get ready to launch out into this Monday, I pray that you are preparing yourself to be stronger in the Lord. And one of the first things that it talks about, it says, so God who knows the heart acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? On one of last week's broadcasts, I was sharing about how people test through complaining and murmuring and believing bad things about God instead of bad things about the devil. And so I want to show you how Peter said that these men who were trying to drag people back into legalism and trying to earn their salvation instead of just receiving the free gift of grace of God, that what they were doing, it says that they were testing God, and the process by which they were testing God was putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, these new believers in Christ. They were putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples. Now, I do want to tell you this. You were meant to be yoked. You were meant. The Bible talks about a number of instances in the Old Testament. There was a passage where Jeremiah was prophesying, and there was a wooden yoke, and that they would be yoked to Babylon, and there was a false prophet that was there, and he came and took the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck, and he broke it, and Jeremiah came back the next day and said, congratulations, you know, you broke the yoke of wood, and now in its place, I'm going to put in its place a yoke of iron, and you are going this people are going to be dragged off into captivity. That guy never lived to see it. He died later that year. The people of Israel were carried off into captivity. Jeremiah said that they would be there for 70 years. They were there for 70 years. It had been prophesied that a guy by the name of Cyrus would decree the rebuilding of the temple, and Cyrus brought the people back and commissioned the rebuilding of the temple. There were people who rose up against it, and Darius did the research and actually funded the process. Listen, a lot of times when you are doing something for God, there's going to be adversity that comes along, but if you will continue on the mission, God is going to turn that adversity into a blessing, and as a result of that, you're going to find a supernatural provision that makes the job easier. So this concept of yoking, it's kind of a foreign concept to those of us who are in a Western culture, let's put it that way, because we have an independent mindset. Right now we live in a society where even relationships tend to be disposable. There are not covenant relationships. Now, when I was in Tulsa, I was there to celebrate my parents' wedding anniversary. it was on up there in years. The church that they go to, they go to the early morning senior service, and there's a lot of those families in there, and they've been married for decades and decades and decades. And I wonder how many of us coming up in latter times are going to see the same results and the same fruit of faithfulness of being yoked together. So let's bring this back to Acts chapter 15 just a moment, because it said that these people were testing God by trying to put a yoke of burden upon these new believers. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to yoke them to this works or earn your salvation mentality. The thing about that was that there was not one of those people who had ever been able to live up under the law. Peter goes on to say that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear it. Now, it's interesting. Peter doesn't say it wasn't just your father. My father couldn't live up under that yoke. It wasn't just you. I couldn't live up under that yoke. None of us could live up under that yoke. And the scripture says that if we are guilty of one area of violating the law, we are guilty of violating the whole thing. There was only one who came and was able to live up under to fulfill all the law and the prophets, and that was Jesus Christ. He said, I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill it. And so that is very interesting. You see, because what a lot of people want to do is they want to demand mercy for themselves and apply legalism to others. They know they can't live up under it. They know they're not perfect. By the way, if you listen to this radio broadcast, you won't have to go back very far to find that I say, way too much. I listened to it the other day, and I almost wanted to count the number of us that I said. I really don't like doing that. I try and do better. I'm trying to improve on my speaking flow and things of that nature. But there are a lot of people who can point out other people's flaws, and yet they are blinded to their own reality. And you know what that's called? That's called hypocrisy. That is called hypocrisy. And if you want to see, there's another if you want to see hypocrisy on demonstration, you won't have to look very far. Look at the news and what some people are deemed guilty of and what other people get a pass on is amazing. There is such a double standard when it comes to application. And it's not just in the media. It can be in politics, where one person says, you said you would do this and you did something different, and even though I did the same thing, you are a bad person and I'm a good person because I did it with the right motives. Well, the truth of the matter is most of them have the same motive, and that is to get reelected. I believe that we would be a much better society if our servants really understood that they are to be servants. And I'm not just talking about politics. I'll bring that into pastoring. I will bring that into the marriage home, where we are supposed to serve one another, where you and I have a role. We have a purpose that God has for us, and we need to remember that in fulfilling that role, we are serving Him for the glory of God. So these people, even though they couldn't live up under it, their fathers couldn't live up, they didn't know anybody who could live up, they were wanting to shackle other people with this yoke of oppression, this yoke of legalism. And Peter wasn't going to have any of it. He said, look, you're trying to do this, and in doing so, you are testing God. Now, the scripture says this, there's an anointing that breaks the yoke of oppression. There's an anointing that breaks the yoke of oppression. Now, what most people have a mindset and an understanding about that particular passage is that there is going to be some external force that comes and just snaps that yoke and sets us free. But if you look at the passage, if you look at the meaning of the word, the anointing that breaks the yoke, it means that what has happened is the oxen that had been under that yoke had continued to feed and continued to utilize their muscles, that what had happened was that yoke began to look a lot like my high school reunion shirt. It no longer fits. That as this group of people began to grow in their faith and grow in their strength, they became strong in the word, strong in obedience to God, strong in their worship, that what happens is the yoke of oppression, it no longer fits because the strength of Almighty God comes up. And what actually takes place is the yoke is broken from the inside out. The more that we take in of God and he becomes stronger in our life, that yoke from external forces begins to break off because it can no longer sustain us. It can no longer restrain you. And so God, it is true, wants to break that yoke of oppression. And if anybody tries to drag you back into that sort of mindset, understand that God has a different purpose in mind. Once that yoke of oppression is taken away, there's another passage that says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers." Now, a lot of times we look at that in a marriage context, and it is a very fit, very appropriate context. But I believe that also needs to be proclaimed to business relationships. You don't want to be unequally yoked, and you're operating by biblical principles, and the partner that you have is operating by unbiblical principles. When that happens, if they're lying to customers, if they are stealing from the company, then there are going to be consequences, there are going to be problems, and you don't want to be a part of that. And if you find yourself in a situation like that, the Bible's very clear. Do whatever is necessary to free yourself from that alliance, that ungodly partnership. Do whatever you can to free yourself and liberate yourself from that. So does that mean that once the yoke of oppression is gone, no, that you no longer have a yoke? No, that's not what this means at all. Let me tell you what it does mean. Now you're free to wear the yoke that was designed just for you. Let me tell you about it. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 29. This is not a yoke that tests God. This is a yoke that pleases God. Verse number 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Let me take you back and read the entire thing in context here for you. Give me just a second. Because you are supposed to be yoked with Jesus. Jesus is not interested in a one-night stand with you. Jesus is not interested and having just a casual encounter. There are too many people whose lives have been derailed and gotten off track because they met somebody at an intersection and they thought that they were on the same journey. And Jesus here is saying, look, I want to show you how to live life. And in verse number 28, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Do you see where he's saying, if you will come to me, even if you are in labor, if you're working and the burdens of life are weighing you down, he said, come to me and I'm going to give you something else. You know, they talk a lot of times about the straw that broke the camel's back, and that means that the camel is already carrying something that is so intense that it's about ready to destroy the camel. Jesus says that come unto me. If that's your condition, if you are weighed down under the yoke of oppression or under the yoke of legalism, he said, I want to give you something. I want to give you rest. Do you realize that the Sabbath, the rest that God has for us, that when we had the opportunity to worship together yesterday, that that was not punitive to man. It was a gift from God to refresh us. It was designed to strengthen us and rejuvenate us and prepare us for the task ahead. He said, I will give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You see, the yoke that Jesus has for us is not an oppressive yoke. It's not a yoke that is a burden. It is a yoke of education. Because what that means is wherever Jesus goes, that's where I'm going. Where the kingdom of God is headed, that's the direction that I want to go on. And he says, when you take my yoke upon you, you are going to learn from me. Now, the key ingredient, the thing that will make this a profitable experience is when we realize that whenever two animals were yoked, they were rarely yoked as equal strength. There was generally one that was stronger than the other, and they would provide the leadership. They were providing the training so that one day that yoke that was, or that animal that was the student today, could one day be used to help educate a different animal later. And so you are on a journey with God. He wants to equip you so that you can help somebody else along the journey with the comfort that God provides you, that you'll be able to provide comfort for somebody else. And he says, here's what you're going to learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart. God is not harsh. He's gentle. Guys, ladies, we should be people who are gentle. You and I, we should be people who are meek. We should be people who are looking for rest, not only for our soul, but for other people's souls. And he says, instead of a yoke of oppression, you're going to find that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what I really like about this. Instead of a yoke of testing God, it is a yoke of working with God, where God shows us how to live so that we can show other people how to live. So that's what we're going to be talking about this week, is the rest of Acts chapter 15. It's going to be encouragement. It's going to be exhortation. It's going to be strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you right now. We give you glory. Thank you, Lord, that you are willing to walk with us, that you're willing to teach us. You want to set the captives free so that we can be connected together with you and do life in a manner that is pleasing to the Father. In Jesus' name, see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25: He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And And I so long to sing you the song you deserve.